With Ross Reynolds, I'm Steve Scherr. It's The Record. When you were born, one of the first things that happened was you were categorized as either a boy or a girl. We are all categorized that way at birth. But for many people in the U.S., gender isn't binary. It's a spectrum. This month, Facebook changed its gender options. Before, users could just choose male or female. Now users can choose from more than 50 different gender options. Amanda Lacsoir is an associate professor at the University of Washington. She spends most of her time examining society and gender. Well, I'm sure you do some other things.
A few. Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So with over 50 terms on the list, it would take a little bit of time to go through them. No, we'll go through a few. But start with one term that Facebook has offered for gender identity, the term cisgender. What is cisgender?
Sure. Cisgender is a term basically is a way of explaining people whose gender and sex assigned at birth match. So it's really a way of thinking about what it means to be a woman or a man as kind of an unmarked category. So some people think about it as non-transgendered. So cisgender would be someone who's not transgendered, who has this kind of normative way of having their gender and sex match. But it really draws attention to the gender binary and draws attention to what it means to kind of be in that category of woman or man.
So it's just calling attention to male and female,
right?
As
exactly
particular points on the spectrum.
That's right, and it sort of shows that someone's an ally and thinks about these questions, and really that they have a sense of the way that gender is a pretty slippery category.
There's another term on the list, trans with an asterisk. What's the asterisk?
Sure. The asterisk has its origins in technological language, where an asterisk can be kind of a wild card or can indicate, like if you're doing a search on Google, you could put a prefix and then an asterisk, and then you would get kind of anything with that prefix on it. So it can be an umbrella term to kind of be trans plus whatever, but it's also come to stand kind of for itself, with the asterisk being kind of indicating like a new way of thinking about gender, trans, asterisks, with that kind of openness to it.
Facebook has added more than 50 gender options for users to identify with on their profile, and we're talking about that with the University of Washington professor Amanda Soir. So 50 gender options or more, I think I saw 56 today. That can be intimidating for people who aren't thinking about that, or that gender might be more than male or female. What's something you would say to welcome someone in on this conversation?
Well, I think it's a great way to open the conversation about the gender binary and look at the space kind of between the poles of man on the one side and woman on the other side. It's a great way for us to all educate ourselves about all of these options that exist. There are lots of categories that didn't even make the list. So in some ways, it seems like a lot. And for other people, it feels like there are things that are missing from the list.
Are there terms you didn't know that did make the list?
There are some that are like the specifics, like say cisgender that we talked about. There's lots of options for cisgender. There's cisgender, there's cissexual, there's cis, just the prefix, cis man, cis male. So there's like, even within these categories, there's lots of options. I would say nous toi is one that I don't hear used very often that's on the list. And that one refers to kind of a gender, or kind of outside, being outside of gender, a neutral gender.
How long have you studied this?
For 20 years.
And in studying it, how far back into literature or language did you find this discussion?
I would say that in kind of medical context, that this conversation's been going on since the 1930s. You know, if we look kind of culturally, it's been going on for a long time. But if we look at activism and ways that the ways that trans activists are thinking about this, that's been since probably the early 1990s.
Trans activists.
Yeah.
People are active in the trans community.
That's right. Yeah, people who are active in the trans community, who are looking, self-defining outside of a gender binary and looking at the kind of language that means. It's been going on for a long time, but in academic circles, I would say transgender studies as a field really took off in the 1990s, so 20 years ago.
But in medical fields, in what doctors and families have noticed over the years, it's been going on much longer.
Sure, for decades, maybe hundreds of years.
Why this, other than the politics, what's the reason for this change and this constant change that we're facing in describing genders today? And is this, by the way, is this a northern and western conversation?
Yeah, those are great questions. To answer the second one first, it's definitely not something that's just happening in the global north. My research is based in South Africa, and these conversations are happening all the time, all over the world. In fact, one of the criticisms of the new Facebook genders is, number one, that it's only been launched in the United States, so only people with U.S.-based Facebook accounts can change their gender options. And another is that there's no non-English terms on the list. Even there are lots of different ways that people describe their gender, including in the United States, but with non-English words. There's no space for that right now.
Well, what, give me one from South Africa. Give me a South African word.
That people use to describe their gender. Oh, there's not like a specific South African word that people use, but I think there's just kind of ways of understanding gender. Like one that I've been seeing is conversations in India, say around the term hijra, is a way of describing someone or a way people describe themselves that didn't make the list that I know people even within Seattle who are saying, hey, why isn't that on the list? I think about myself in that way.
And can you define it, hijra?
Hijra, I don't have an easy definition for it. I mean, I think that I'll leave that aside. I mean, I think it wouldn't even be that easy to define.
So then that takes back to the first question I asked you. Why is this happening right now? And both in the positive and the negative, what's the churn here?
Sure. I think there have been definitely activist movements that are saying we'd like to define ourselves outside of a gender binary, and there hasn't been space for that. So there are people who are saying, actually protesting Facebook and saying Facebook, they have Facebook pages that say, why don't you create a space for this? So I think that's part of the impetus, is that people are living outside of the gender binary. It's becoming more kind of commonly known and accepted, but there hasn't been a lot of space for describing it. I also, I don't know what Facebook's motivations are for making this shift. I mean, Facebook is worth, what, over $100 billion. So there's a lot of gender-targeted advertising. And so I do have some concerns about what it might mean to just open up ourselves to lots of surveillance. Why would Facebook not choose to have no gender options at all on Facebook for anyone? Like, what would that mean for Facebook and their advertisers?
You touched it, because it's more information. Do you expect that we'll see more targeted information across those 50-plus options?
I think it's interesting to think about. So far, what I've read is that they're focused more on pronouns. So the pronouns that are available right now are only three. So you can go with he, she, or they, or them as a category, which is kind of a plural, but also kind of encompasses a gender neutrality. So you can choose those three. So what I've read is that the Facebook kind of gender-based marketing will be addressing kind of using those pronouns. But who knows, right, where the Facebook goes with the information that it gets from us.
You know, there was the S/HE mm-hmm. for a while, but that's, how do we say that? Do other languages have more nuanced than gender pronouns than he and she?
Yes, there's lots of other kinds of pronouns and places where there's no gender pronouns and languages where there are right. No, and Z, and there are other gender pronouns that people use even here in the U.S., but there's not really a space for that on Facebook yet, so we'll have to see.
Amanda Lacswar is a professor of gender studies at the UW and author of Sex and Transition, Remaking Gender and Race in South Africa. So Facebook offers these options, people to identify. Is it rude to ask someone how they identify?
I think it's kind of a better starting point to identify yourself and to think about your own gender. I know there are some classes that where the professor will ask everyone in the class to identify their own chosen gender pronoun. And I think that kind of complicates gender for all of us, right? Rather than putting those who might identify outside of the gender binary on display.
Is there a question to ask someone that's okay if you want to figure out if they have a preference for pronouns?
I think you can just kind of work things into a conversation that they would have.
Does this make the whole all these issues? It sounds like for many people, it's going to make it more complicated right off the bat. But is the anticipation that in the future we will be able to encompass within our minds all these 50-plus ways to describe gender?
I think we'll be able to encompass more. It opens up the conversation to something that's already happening in society. And I also think that it challenges those who think of their gender as kind of normative, as man or woman. It challenges everyone to think about their gender, right? That it kind of unsettles the idea that there is a simple binary. So I think it gives us a lot of space to broaden the conversation.
You like that idea, that it'll be unsettled?
Yes.
Why?
I think the unsettling's already there, right? If we think about the way that we think about gender and bodies, the reason that there's so much anxiety, say about this new Facebook, there was some anxiety from Fox News that would someone be able to identify as a weed whacker or, you know, these other kind of bizarre categories. And that to me just indicates that it's sort of threatening, that being outside of the gender binary is threatening and scary, that we have to kind of police it to make sure that it stays in the boxes where we want it all the time. And when we kind of look at the edges of it, it gets into uncharted territory, which is, I think, exciting.
Did you think you were going to be doing this 20 years ago? Did you think you were going to be breaking, that it would be broken open like this?
Not at all. No, absolutely not. And even in terms of the language, it shifts from year to year, from month to month. There's new terms. So it'll be interesting to see how Facebook can keep up with that, too.
What did you think 20 years ago? Did you think, oh, I'm going to be in this cramped idea and pushing out, rather than this is a very broad and very open kind of idea that we're expanding now?
I would definitely say that 20 years ago, it was a challenging conversation to even have, and it was seen as outside of expectations. But now I think that science, social sciences, humanities, everyone's kind of realizing the broadness of the gender spectrum.
You know, it's about setting up different names for gender identification, but in some ways it seems to detune the whole conversation and take emphasis away from what they are rather than what they aren't.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think it does give us space to kind of move into what would be positive. How do people choose to identify themselves rather than trying to put labels on people and categorize them? To say, if you want to describe yourself, how would you talk about yourself? How does that work? What kind of communities do you create and what's important to you?
I think it goes beyond gender. I mean, this really opens up to, I don't mean weed whackers, but I mean in the way we start to identify community, how we see community.
Absolutely, yes. I think it helps us think about both the importance of gender and the lack of importance of gender at the same time, of like the slipperiness of it and what it means if the first thing that we say when a baby's born is not, is it a boy or a girl, right? Like, what if that's not our first question? What if kind of humanness is defined in a different way that just isn't about the only way that I can interact with you is if I know if you're a man or a woman, right? Like, if we go beyond that expectation, that what kinds of more interesting conversations can we have?
Amanda Lacsuar is a professor of gender studies at the UW. Facebook recently decided to add over 50 different ways for users to identify their gender. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is The Record from KUOW.